Church, let's pray together. Lord God, we ask that your holy word would be our holy rule, the Holy Spirit, our teacher, and your glory, Lord God, our single concern. And all God's people said, Amen. Friends, I encourage you to open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. I believe that there is a tremendous and urgent need for all of us, especially everyone in the church, to recognize the central importance of Jesus and his cross, to see the love that it demonstrates, and to truly understand that our lives should be a response to that event. I have many crosses in my office and at my home, and they hang on my walls for several reasons. But one reason is that sometimes I don't feel God's love, and so I need to see it. They hang on my walls because I want to be reminded of all that Jesus Christ has done for me. I have very few memories of my early childhood. However, one of my clearest and most powerful memories is attending a worship service with my family. I grew up Roman Catholic, and in that church, there was a large crucifix, which is a cross depicting Jesus undergoing the powerful sacrificial event that saved you and me from our sins. The event that our Holy Scriptures call today the power of God. That crucifix, that cross was hanging on the back wall. Just by seeing that crucifix, it struck me that that is what God did for me. And somehow I needed to respond. Just by me seeing that cross, that crucifix, deep inside I just knew that that event, God dying on the cross, was done for me. And that event matters to everyone, whether they realize it or not, or even try to deny it. And it matters to us personally. I believe that there is a great need to acknowledge what the Lord has done for us in love, and that our lives should respond accordingly. The Holy Spirit who dwells within you and me, who has been poured into our hearts, as we heard about last week, desires to do that. The Holy Spirit wants me and you to understand and experience that the cross was for me and for you. Friends, even though you are sinful, and I am sinful, and we still need to repent, but because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, we are now truly lovable. This has profound implications for all of life. Consider something like forgiveness, which many people struggle with and need to grow in. Think about how different it is to forgive someone who has wronged you if you don't realize that the cross was for you personally. The moment you understand that the cross was for you, that you deserve to be on that cross, and I deserve to be on that cross, but we're not. Because the one who made you and made me is on it instead. That becomes freeing. He has literally poured out his mercy and for you. If I understand this, and it's my reality in life, then, even when it's hard, forgiveness naturally flows from me to those who have wronged me, regardless of how many times or how severely they have hurt me. It can't be any other way for the Christian in light of Christ. This differs greatly from the person who doesn't understand the importance of the cross, the significance of Jesus, who doesn't realize that God has loved him or her and doesn't see the mercy that they've received. For them, forgiveness becomes a mental exercise where I try to muster up enough willpower to forgive. But that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is simply allowing God's mercy by the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. That mercy that we have received through the cross. And I can see that and be reminded of this through the image of the cross. In the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 15, God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Let's pause there for a moment to think about that. What do you suppose the fear is that Paul is alluding to? The Holy Scriptures and the church has taught that there are two main fears. First is the fear of God. And while it is appropriate to fear God at times, since he is absolutely holy, just, and powerful, but the Holy Spirit who dwells in you does so to convince you that you are a child of God. And a child of God has no reason to fear, especially in the midst of Satan's accusations. This is why a child of God calls out, "Abba, Father." Friends, God is not your enemy. God is not the enemy of freedom, happiness, or life. God is not standing over you with an anvil just waiting for you to mess up. God is not a cold, arbitrary judge. God is a loving, merciful, holy, and righteous Father. Is he just? Absolutely. But he's also a merciful and loving Father. The fear that many of us have, which the devil exploits, especially through all the times that things go wrong in my life, is the fear that God doesn't care or isn't interested in our lives. I have been asking and seeking and knocking for decades, and I haven't received a single crumb or even a sliver of a window opened. And the devil uses that to say, see, God is not good. He doesn't care. He's a loaf. He might not even exist. And if he does, he's only there for others, not for you. But these are all the lies from the enemy. Over these last few weeks, we have seen and heard and experienced that we truly have a loving and merciful Father who, for the Christian, the child of God, is not to be feared. The Holy Spirit lives in the Christian, not only to powerfully remind us of this reality, but also to help us experience it. The second fear is about us, that I am either completely alone here, or perhaps more powerfully, I am somehow just a lot of damaged goods. So we sit here and we learn about the great things that the Holy Spirit has done in our hearts and lives, bringing us the experience of the Father's love. And I have no problem believing that about you. But I'm damaged goods. I'm too sinful. And there's no way God could ever love me. And we all feel that way in one way or another. Friends, no saint has ever lived that hasn't had a past or something that they were ashamed of or something that they were humiliated by or something that they weren't embarrassed by or something they did not want anyone else to know or some sin that they struggled with. And no sinner who has come to know Christ, no matter how many or vile their sins may be, that doesn't have a future. Simply put, there is no saint without a past, and there is no sinner who has met Christ without a future. In the Christian church, there is no such thing as damaged goods. God knows that we are all in great need. And because we are in great need, every single Christian, every single child of God receives the mercy and the redemption and the passion of the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. We receive the great gift and the great power of Jesus' act on the cross. That's not just for some of us. That's for all of God's people. In fact, the more you understand how damaged you actually are, the more you are able to rejoice in the cross, and the more you can give praise to God because the cross was precisely for us and our sins to fulfill us. We were going nowhere, and God mercifully broke in, giving us a place to go, namely, home. God wants us to come home. So, We did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. It is the Holy Spirit himself who bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. That is not just for some of you here today, but for all the people of God. All of God's people are children of God, precious in his sight. There is no one here who is unknown. Nobody just blends in. And so, the Holy Spirit answers the cry that we want to be loved and convinces us that God is not our enemy, nor an obstacle to our freedom or happiness. He is, in fact, my friend, my Father, my Lord, my King, my God, and the one who created me for freedom, truth, love, justice, and joy. By revealing all of this, the Holy Spirit gives me hope and gives you much hope. One of the images that symbolizes both hope and the Holy Spirit is the dove shown in the Holy Scriptures. One place where the dove is mentioned in the Old Testament is the story of Noah and the flood. After floating on the floodwaters in the ark for a long time, Noah sends out a dove. Then the dove returns, carrying an olive branch, a symbol of peace and of hope. This is God's way of showing Noah that it is safe, and the boat can now be opened. The rain has stopped, and the water is beginning to recede. Life can start again. That same spirit of hope and peace that rested upon the ark, that Holy Spirit then rested upon Jesus. And now he rests upon us as God's people. That Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is revealing to you and to me that the shipwreck is over. It's safe. You can come on out, and the Lord loves you. Not for what you have done, not for what you haven't done, but simply because you are a child of God. The shipwreck is over. The shipwreck is over, and there is hope, great hope, because if the Father loves you, it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Just as Jesus heard as he was coming out of the waters of his baptism, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." Mark 1:11. So too, when you and I are baptized, we were told the same thing. "He is my beloved son. She is my beloved daughter." The shipwreck is over. And the cry that we all ask, "Am I loved?" has been answered by God. And God says, "Yes, my children, you are loved." Praise be to God. We are loved, truly and fully loved. And because of that, we have nothing to fear. The Holy Spirit for God's people answers the two main cries of our hearts. The cry of our hearts, "Am I loved?" And the cry that we have for fear. We are loved, so we have nothing to fear. But then how do we live this out? Because as a church and as a people, sometimes we don't live these two things out very well. Even though we have been blessed mightily and abundantly by God, I had an experience at my first pastorate where I had been working with an individual. And I'll tell you, this person was not financially well off. He was receiving a good amount from the government. He was trying his hardest and trying to get his life together, but he had little means. And I was working constantly with this person, week after week, meeting with him. And I was constantly inviting him to come to church, that this is the place that you need to be. And so one day, after months of working with this individual, he finally came. He finally came to the door. And when he came to that door, do you want to know the very first thing that he heard? Why didn't you wear something better? The first thing that he heard coming to the door, probably wearing the best sweatshirt that he had, why didn't you wear something better? Shame on that person. He never came back. Friends, if we have the greatest message ever, how dare us keep anyone away? How dare us? If we have the grace of God, which we do, how dare us put in blocks? How dare us build up walls? How dare us try to restrict people from the love and grace and mercy of God, which He wants to pour out to God's people? I want to say this, and this goes for everyone here, and this goes for everyone out there. If you are searching, come. If you, my friends, want to receive the grace and mercy of God, come. If you are having a life of that lacks the love of God, or just love in general, come. I don't care how you dress. I don't care how you show up. I don't care how sinful. I don't care. Just come. Jesus wants you to come. And I'm telling you, I will have your back. Come. This cross is for you. Let's never restrict that. Lord God, come. Holy Spirit, come. Loving Father, come. We need you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to pray. Lord God, you have welcomed us even when we were still sinners, even when we were your enemies. You came and you died for us. You lived for us. You rose from the grave for us. And Lord, we ask that that great mercy, that that peace would not be walled inside of us. We ask, O Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, it would flow through us to others. You have shown yourself to be mercy, and you pour out mercy. Help us to give mercy as well. You have shown yourself to be love. You have poured out love. Help us to be and to share that love. Lord, you have given us your truth, and you are the truth. Help us to pour it out for the benefit of the world. And Lord, if there are walls that we have put up that restrict people that are outside of this church, Lord, tear them down. Lord, if we restrict our own people, our own children, tear it down. Help us to be a people that long to bring people to you. Amen.